Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Psochem Daf Ayin Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief format and introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur on Daf Ayin Ches, the second line from the top. You will notice in the text a bow tie shape, and on the side we have under our Nosei Mivneh heading a note. The Nosei is the topic and Mivneh the structural note, where you see a bow tie featured, and we indicate that this bow tie is explained back on Daf Ayin Zayin. In other words, in our previous shiur we touched upon the role of this, and over there we explained that after having learned the Mishnah on Daf Ayin Vav Omid Beis, which featured five different korbonos tzibur, that even though the korban became tomei, they are still to be brought. And that idea that even if the meat of the korban became tomei, and as the Mishnah said, it will not be eaten, as of course is to be expected if the korban meat became tomei, nevertheless, the korban is processed. There is zrikas hadam is done, and they get credit for the korban. This idea that even though all you have is the blood available for sprinkling and the meat is no longer available because it became tomei, and yet the korban is accepted, we said on Daf Ayin Zayin, where the first bow tie had appeared, that our Mishnah appears to be unlike the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua saying that in order for a person to get credit for a korban, you have to have not only the blood, but you have to have the meat in place as well. And the Gemara had a very long discussion that lasted from Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph till the top line, essentially, of Ayin Ches Amud Aleph, right at the end of our previous shiur, trying to show that our Mishnah could, in fact, be in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua. And that, of course, was the topic of our previous shiur. At this point, we continue with a very similar type question. However, in replacing the name Rabbi Yeshua, we see Rabbi Yossi. And hence our Gemara asks, and it's a question that lasts a few lines, notice the long question marking, Neimo masnisin delok Rabbi Yossi. Shall we say that our Mishnah that indicated that even though the meat is tomei, the korban nevertheless is processed and they get credit for it, is unlike the low Rabbi Yossi? Well, let's see. What did Rabbi Yossi say that leads us to conclude that our Mishnah would appear to be unlike Rabbi Yossi? Desanya. So we have a Tanaic source, and we should point out the triangle marking that you see here is explained on the side. These triangles introduce attempts to show that our Mishnah would be unlike Rabbi Yossi. And in fact, if we're not guilty of spoiling the fun, on the third wide line of this omid, of this Daf Gemara, you can see a dashed underline expression where the Gemara will say, in fact, Machbar to Masnisin to Lok Rabbi Yossi, that these attempts actually will eventually show that the Mishnah cannot be like Rabbi Yossi. But we haven't even said what did Rabbi Yossi say, so let's continue in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Desanya, Rabbi Lezer Omer Hatzitz Meratz Al Achilos. Rabbi Lezer's opinion is that the golden headplate worn by the Kohen Gadol, which we spoke about extensively in our previous shiur, so we're not going to go over all of that again, but nevertheless, the tzitz has the ability, according to Rabbi Lezer, of Ming Meratzah, which would mean to undo or atone for the sin or the problem of Tumah on Achilos. Achilos is a reference to that part of the korban that would ordinarily be eaten. For example, in an animal korban, the meat, and in a meal offering, the shirayim, the balance. The balance after the handful of flour is taken and put on the mizbeach. So Rabbi Lezer says that tzitz is meratz al achilos, and Rabbi Yossi Omer ain tzitz meratz al achilos. Rabbi Yossi says that the tzitz is ineffective in overruling or superseding the tumah that affects the achilos, the basar of the korban or the balance of the mincha. There is an assumption made that the tzitzis is ineffective in rendering the or superseding the tuma of the meat. Well, if he holds that Rabbi Yeshua Sfirule, he must hold like Rabbi Yeshua the Omar Bo'in on Tarti, that in order for credit to be given for performing a korban, for offering a korban, you have to have both the basar and the dam, the meat and the blood. That the sprinkling of the blood is not enough. So, if Rabbi Yossi is saying that sitz doesn't remove the tumah, so to speak, or supersede the tuma, so it must be that now I have a problem, i.e., I don't have the basar, and I need to have the basar in addition to the dam. That's called bo'in on tartu. We need both. So that Rabbi Yossi then holds like Rabbi Yeshua, and Nemo hashto masis in the lo Rabbi Yossi. So it would appear then that our Mishnah that says you are makriv, you do process a korban, even if the meat became tame, so our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara rejects this and says loy, or more rejects, or you can say responds and says no, that the assumption we just made that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Yeshua is not acceptable. Rather, Rabbi Yossi Kribi Eliezer Svirole, Rabbi Yossi, who says ain sitz maratz achilos, holds like Rabbi Eliezer the Omar Dam Afal Pi She'ein Basar. Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is unlike that of Rabbi Yeshua, and says that if you have the blood and you don't have the meat, even if you don't have the meat, even if the meat became tomei, it's okay. So our Mishnah could be like Rabbi Yossi. Now we have a bracketed section. This bracket helps very much to pick up immediately with the next question that's of the same nature, of trying to show that our Mishnah is not going to be like Rabbi Yossi. However, in the brackets, the Gemara will be analyzing that which we just said, that Rabbi Yossi holds, after having said Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Eliezer, then of what value is the information above, that where Rabbi Yossi says that the or more accurately that the Rabbi Eliezer says that tzitz is meratz anachilos? What do you need to have the tzitz meratz anachilos if you don't even need the basar in the first place? So that will be dealt with in the bracketed section. Now, that having been said, let's do the brackets. If Rabbi Yossi is said to hold like Rabbi Lazar, and that is dam afal pi she'ein basar, then l'may hilchasa, what value is that which Rabbi Yossi said above, ein hatzitz meratz alachilos, that the tzitz does not overrule or supersede the tumah that affects achilos? Basically, who cares? Even if the tzitz is not meratz an achilos, all you need is the dam in the first place. So the Gemara responds and says, "Uletameich, Rebbe Lozer diomar hatzitz meratze." According to Rebbe Lozer, that says that the tzitz is meratz an achilos. Kevin di Omar dam afal pishein basar. Since Rebbe Lozer said that all you need is the blood, even if you don't have the basar, hatzitz meratz an achilos lemay huchasa. Of what value is there in knowing that the tzitz is meratz an achilos when you don't need to have the achilos, the basar, in the first place? The Gemara answers, there is value in knowing about sitz meratz an achilos, yes or no, even if you hold that all you need to have is the dam. And what do we need to know about the basar status? Elo lemikbe'e bepigol ulafuke midei me'ilo. There are 2 points that are mentioned here, and these 2 points basically have they get us out of the realm of your basic korban, is it accepted? So let's just review the main point, and that is that as far as our Tanoim are concerned right now, we have seen Rabbi Yossi, who can hold like Rabbi Eliezer, that says all you need to have is the dam, and that information is important for us to know that once you have just, even if you have just the dam, the korban is acceptable. However, there are two other areas of halachas that can be affected by the status of the meat. Those two other areas, one is mikvei bepigul, and that means a korban, if it's processed, let's say it's shechted, it's slaughtered with the intention of eating the meat at the wrong time, beyond its acceptable time frame. That's a mindset, an improper thought that is experienced at the time of the korban's processing. If one has such a thought, as we just described, an improper time type thought, the korban is rendered unfit. And not only that, but if one eats the meat of that type of korban, he'll be chayav of kores, a very serious punishment. However, in order for a korban to become pigol, besides the thought of the wrong time thought, the rest of the processing must be done as if it were a kosher korban, as if it were a totally acceptable korban. In simple terms, there cannot be a psul acher, another psul. Therefore, if you have a korban that has another psul in it, for example, tumah, then it will not become pigul. Therefore, if you say that tzitz is not meratzan achilos, and you happen to have had a pigul mindset, the korban would not become pigul, and the kores punishment for eating it would not be in place. Another halacha is lafuke mide meila. That means that a korban, until it's processed properly, if one derives personal pleasure from it, personal benefit from it, he's violating the rules of sanctity, and he's guilty of an avera, of a sin known as mi'ilah. And that carries with it certain penalties, obligations to compensate and bring a special osho mi'ilah sacrifice. At what point does a korban leave the realm of the iser mi'ilah? At which point is it said that a korban, that if you were to benefit from it personally, would not be in violation of mi'ilah? So that would be accomplished if the korban is processed under acceptable conditions, where the zrikas hadam enabled the korban to be eaten by the kohanim, if you will. If, however, the zrikas hadam does not bring it to the point that you'll be able to eat the meat, for example, the meat happened to be tomei, so it doesn't achieve the stage required to remove the mi'ilah, namely a heter l'kohanim. They can't eat it. So if I say that the tzitz is not meratzan achilos, so a korban like that will still retain the mi'ilah status or the mi'ilah prohibition that applies to it. So we continue now in the Gemara. We mentioned that the issue of tzitz meratzan achilos is necessary for mikbe bepigul afuke midei mi'ilah. And we say regarding that, komifligi, regarding that particular point, you will see a machlokis between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Eliezer sovar, meratzet tzitz iluya, umashvi le ketohor. The tzitz is meratzan achilos, it means it makes it mashvi le, it makes the meat as if it's tohor. Now when we say as if it's tohor, by the way, it doesn't mean that you're going to actually be able to eat the meat. However, it makes it tohor, v'kova le bepigol. The pigol iser can set in umapik lei midei meila, and the zrikas adam that's done will remove the korban from creating a meila violation. Rabbi Yossi sovar. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, says lo meratzet tzitzi luya, the tzitz is not effective. The lo mashvi lei ketor, and it doesn't make the meat as if it's tar, velo kovel of a pigol, and therefore pigol cannot be established, velo mapik le midei me'ila, nor can the me'ila violation be removed. There still is a me'ila violation for one who benefits on a personal level from such a korban. The brackets closes here, and we turn our attention back to the issue of setting up our Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi. Maskifla Rav Mori. And this question lasts a number of lines. Nehi nami de Rabbi Yossi Savak Rabbi Elazar. Granted that Rabbi Yossi holds, like Rabbi Elazar, that all you need is one. You need only, let's say, the dam, even if you don't have the basar. Bishlamo zvachim ikodam. So as far as the zvachim, as far as animal offerings, so we can say, we can explain the Mishnah like Reb Yossi, who holds like Reb Elazar, that all you need is one. That's as far as an animal korban, where even if the meat becomes tummy, you have the blood to sprinkle. Oimer nami ikod kaimitz. The Mishnah mentioned the korbanam, which is a meal offering, a barley meal offering, brought on the 16th of Nisan. Well, there you have a handful of flour that's put in the fire, and you have a balance that remains, so that we can explain that you have some aspect of the korban offered, leaving you with the balance that you would then that would remain. Lechem aponim nami ikol bozichen. Regarding the lechem aponim, the 12 breads that sat in the heichal, there is an aspect of that, of the lechem aponim, that is offered, and hence, and that's the bozichen, that's the lavona, that's a special spice that was kept in bozichen, are receptacles that were placed on the shulchan also together with the lechem aponim. They, the bozichen contents, the lavona, bozichen again are the name of the receptacle, the lavona is the spice, that was put on the mizbeach on Shabbos, it was offered every week. So that too, I can understand that you get credit because some aspect of the korban is offered, namely the bozichin. But the Mishnah also mentioned the two loaves that are brought on the holiday of Shavuos. Now, as far as those two loaves are concerned, they are brought in the Beis HaMikdash, but there's nothing of them, of the breads, that are offered, so that if they become tamei, how do they get credit for it? There's nothing of it that's offered. V'chiteima lakorev imohen. You might say, well, the two loaves on Shavuos are, generally speaking, the Torah expects you to bring them together with what are known as the Kivsei Atzeres, which are korban shlomim, but of a tzibur, of a public nature. We say this hesitatingly because, generally speaking, a korban shlomim is a private korban. In the case of the Kivsei Atzeres, they are shalmei tzibur. So you can say that since the breads are brought along with these two sheep on Shavuos, so the sheep are offered, their blood is offered, leaving behind the shtei halechem, so you have an aspect of them, of the lechem, of the shtei halechem that's offered, i.e. in the form of the sheep. Well, if you're going to say that explanation, well, heinu shalmei tzibur. They are already referred to in the Mishnah, on daf ayin vav amid beis. There was example number 4 on that, in that mission of Ayin Vav Amud Beis, was in fact Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. They were already mentioned, and in Cain, and if you say that Shtei Alechem is one in the same as the Shalmei Tzibur, in the sense that in order for the Lechem Aponim to be the Shtei Alechem, let's correct ourselves, the Shtei Alechem, in order for them to be acceptable, it's because you offered the Kivsei Atzeres. Well, Im Kein Havlu Arba, then there are in actuality only 4 examples in the Mishnah of An Chamishatan, and we learn 5. The Mishnah back on Ayin Vav Omid Beis mentioned 5 korbanos that even if they become tomei, there is acceptance. Ela, kosover Rabbi Yossi, tuma hutra betzibor. The Gemara explains that Rabbi Yossi doesn't need the tzitz at all, because when you're dealing with a public sacrifice, the laws of tuma are simply suspended. so that the reference to the Shtei HaLechem, and Rashi makes reference to this, could be referring to a case where the Shtei HaLechem are brought even without the Kivsei Atzeres, and still they would get credit for the Shtei HaLechem, being that even if the Shtei HaLechem became Tomei, Tuma does not restrict the acceptability of a Korban Sibor. And that's coming from the this opinion, namely the opinion of Rabbi Yossi's opinion that Tuma Hutra B'Tzibor. Now, that's a major assumption that Rabbi Yossi in fact holds that Tuma, the rules of Tuma have been suspended when it comes to a public sacrifice. For Ha Tanya, the Gemara asks, Echod Zeh Ve'echod Zeh Mazin Olav Kol Shiva Mikol Chatois Shohoyu Shom Divrei Rabbi Meir. This is a source that is found in a totally different context. This is a reference to a Kohen that is going to process the Pora Aduma, or the Kohen Gadol of Yom Kippur. Two different references to Kohanim that have special tasks. So in getting a Kohen ready for Kohen, let's say for Yom Kippur, so he is put in a special chamber. He dwells in a special chamber of the Beis HaMikdash for 7 days before Yom Kippur arrives. And Rabbi Meir says that during that week he is sprinkled with the Pora Aduma water to ensure that he has no Tumas Mace upon him. Rabbi Yossi, and really we want to emphasize Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Ein Mazin Olav Elo Shlishu Shvi Bilvad. There's no need to sprinkle the Pora Aduma water on him, which purifies from Tumas Mace all 7 days. It's enough if it's done on the third day and the seventh day of his presence in that chamber prior to Yom Kippur. We're not going to get involved with the details here of why does Rabbi Meir say 7 days and why he says only 2 of the days. Suffice it to say that Rabbi Yossi is concerned with the Kohen Gadol's purity before Yom Kippur. As you can see, Rabbi Yossi says that sprinkling is done on the seventh, on the third and seventh days of his stay in that chamber before Yom Kippur. Now, the Isalka Daitoch, Kosov Rabbi Yossi Tuma Hutra B'Tzibor, if it is true that Rabbi Yossi holds that the laws of Tuma have been suspended with regard to public offerings, and Yom Kippur is a day of exclusively purely public related offerings, Lomo li hazal klal. Why is there any need for the sprinkling of the Por Aduma water, which generally speaking purifies from Tumas Meis, when you don't need to have purification at all if you hold that Tuma Hutra B'Tzibor? And here we have Yom Kippur represents a Tzibor day, a day of Tzibor activity. Why bother being Matahir the Kohen Gadol from the Tumas Meis to begin with? And yet Rabbi Yossi insists on him being purified. He says there's hazaa, sprinkling of the Por Aduma water on the third and seventh days prior to Yom Kippur. Elo machvarto masisin talok, Rabbi Yossi. It would be more appropriate simply to conclude that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi. Once you establish that Rabbi Yossi holds that you need to have Tahara, even though you're dealing with Tzibur related matters, and we saw our Mishnah make reference to the Shtei HaLechem and the Shtei HaLechem in isolation. Otherwise you would have only 4 examples as opposed to the Mishnah's stated 5 examples, and the Shtei HaLechem doesn't have any aspect of it that is offered, and yet the Mishnah says it is acceptable. So how can you resolve that, namely our Mishnah, with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi? We can't. So we have to conclude that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yossi. Just as far as the superstructure of this daf and daf, the previous daf, then the Ayin Zayin, there the Gemara had attempted to say that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yoshua. However, the Gemara had a conclusion setting up our Mishnah like Rabbi Yoshua. In this case, we attempted to set up the Mishnah like Rabbi Yossi, but that did not meet with success. Omar le Rav Popol Abaye. At this point, the Gemara reverts back to that which we saw on the previous Omar, on Daf Ayin Zayin Omid Beis, there was a Tanaic source at the time, we said it made practically no sense, but we didn't explain the source. In our previous year, we were at that point focusing on simply the last line of the source that's found on the in the middle of the wide lines of the previous Omid, where we had dashed underline im ein and squiggle underline koimetz ein shiraim and im ein shiraim ein koimetz. However, when you look at that entire source, and the Gemara is going to quote it again, it makes practically no sense, because Rabbi Yossi, who was moderating that source, he seems to say that he holds like two contradictory opinions. And the Gemara is going to use a colorful expression to present that problem, but it's a problem, and you can see with at last a number of lines the presentation of this question. Omar le Rav Papa Abaye. Rav Papa raises the question to Abaye, says, Rav Yossi Shtara Mezaki Lebei Trei Hu. The translation of that expression, Shtara Mezaki Lebei Trei, illustrates a situation where Mr. A presents a document of debt in trying to collect money from Mr. B. The two appear in court, and the judge rules Mr. A is correct, you have a right to collect your money, and Mr. B is correct, he has a right to retain his money. Well, such a ruling is inherently contradictory. And yet, Rabbi Yossi seems to rule thusly in our case of the issue of Karbonis. Now, the source is quoted again, Desanya. This is the same source we saw on Ayin Zayim Beis. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Roe Ani, as Divrei Rabbi Lezer Bezvachim, V'Divrei Rabbi Yeshua Bezvachim. I like the approach taken by Rabbi Lezer in Zvachim, in Korbonos, in animal sacrifices, and I like Rabbi Yeshua's approach. And secondly, V'Divrei Rabbi Lezer B'Menachos, V'Divrei Rabbi Yeshua B'Menachos. And now the Brisa explains, or elaborates, what do you mean, what did Rabbi Lezer say, and what did Rabbi Yeshua say in both of these realms? Divrei Rabbi Lezer Bezvachim, I like that opinion of Rabbi Lezer in animal sacrifices that used to say, Dam afal pishein basar, the korban is acceptable, even if all you have is the blood to sprinkle, even if you don't have the meat, even if the meat is ruined. Ruined, either in tumo or it's lost. Divrei Rabbi Yeshua Bezvachim, Shoy Rabbi Shahoy Omer, and I like Rabbi Yeshua's opinion in the case of Zvachim that says, Im ein dam ein basar, im ein basar ein dam, which means if you don't have blood, then you can't do anything with the meat, and if you don't have the meat, so then you don't bother sprinkling the blood. In other words, you need to have both elements, the blood and the meat. That contradicts Rabbi Lezer. And the second topic of menachos, of meal offerings, Rabbi Yossi says, Divrei Rabbi Lezer b'menachos, Shoy Omer, I like Rabbi Lezer's opinion by menachos, that Rabbi Lezer used to say, Koimetz afal pi she'ein shom shirayim, the handful of flour that's put into the fire is all you need, even if you don't have the balance of a meal offering for the kohen's eating. V'divrei Rabbi Yeshua b'menachos, and I like Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, says, Shoy Omer, imein shom shirayim ein koimetz. If you don't have the shirayim, then don't bother offering the komets. Imein komets, and if you don't have the komets to put into the fire, you don't have the komets, the handful of meal offering that's offered on the mizbeach, ein shirayim, then you have nothing to do with the shirayim that may still remain there. So what do we do with this source? Now, you can see the house marking appears, and a number of these appear as the Gemara unfolds. You'll notice on the side of the Gemara there are no say, mivne heading, the house is featured, and we've written, Nisyonis lahasbir shitas Rabbi Yossi. We are going to attempt to explain Rabbi Yossi, shal pnei dvarim, posei kishtei shitas sosros, that on the surface it looks like he's ruling like two contradictory opinions. So we continue in the Gemara. Omar lei, that's Abaye answers Rav Papa. He says, Mistabra ko'omar. The term Mistabra means likelihood. Ki koi bezvachim omar, when Rav Yossi was in the topic of zvachim, he would say, Mistabra, it's likely. Ki hechi de pligi bezvachim pligi nami b'menachas. In other words, Rabbi Yossi is not actually taking a position, a personal position, on which one of these Tanoim, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Lezer, he likes, but rather Rabbi Yossi is observing their machlokas Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua, and saying, just like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua argue in the realm of Zvachim, so too they probably would argue with regard in the realm of Menachas, that namely, do you need to have both elements, the Dam and the Basar, or is one element enough? Similarly, Koi b'Menachas Omar, when Rabbi Yossi was learning Menachas, when he was in the realm of Menachas, and he was observing this Machlokas Omar, he would say, Mistabra, it's most likely, Ki hechi de pligi b'Menachas, pligi nami b'Zvachim. Just like they argue regarding Menachas, they would argue also regarding Zvachim. So that's Abaye's response to Rav Papa's question. Omar lei, Rav Papa, however, raises a question again. You notice this question lasts a couple of lines. So Rav Papa says, "Ha tenach I kikoy bezvachim omar." I can understand that if you're in the topic of zvachim and you say, "Mistabro kihechi de pligi bezvachim pligi nami b'menachas," just like they have their machlokas regarding animal sacrifices, they'll have their machlokas also regarding meal offerings. To ikur kroy kiksivi, the original psukim, when they make allusions to how much you need, we saw in our previous shiurim, Pasuk V'yasisa Elosecha Abosar V'adam. So those psukim that make references to either needing both or one is enough, B'Zvachim Ksivi, the Torah writes them in the topic of Zvachim, so that you have a primary topic and then a derived topic, i.e. Menachas. So if you're in the realm of the primary realm, it's reasonable to say that just like here, where the psukim state the case explicitly, so we can derive from this to the case of Menachas. Eloki kai b'Menachas v'Omar, if you're in the realm of Menachas and you then say Mistabro kiyechi de pligi Menachas pligi nami b'Zvachim, just like Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yeshua argue regarding meal offerings, they would also argue regarding animal offerings. For ikur kroi b'Zvachim u'diksivi, the psukim are written in the context of animal offerings, so that logically speaking, you wouldn't be in a subsidiary and a derived realm, and then extrapolating from that to the primary realm. Hello? Lo kashya. A second attempt to explain Rabbi Yossi in the source just above. What is he saying? He's saying as follows. Ro'ani es divrei Rabbi Eliezer benitma. I accept Rabbi Eliezer's approach when we're talking about a korban that became tomei. If the korban became tomei, so if you have the blood, go ahead and sprinkle the blood, and you get credit for the korban. The divrei Rabbi Yeshua, and I like Rabbi Yeshua's approach that you need to have both the blood and the meat, but ovud v'soref, where it's lost or burnt. Then, in the case that the meat is lost or burnt, and all you have is the blood, so you cannot process the korban; you won't get credit for it. The Gemara asks, "Benitma, maitaima?" In the case of nitma, why is it that Rabbi Yossi would like Rabbi Elazar's opinion? Mishum, demaratzi tzitz. The reason for that is that the tzitz would have the power to suspend the tuma problem, as is known that tzitz affects the issue of tuma. But how can you say that as the pshat in this source? Who is the author of the source? It's Rabbi Yossi. Hashamis le the Rabbi Yossi de Omar ein hatzitz meratz achilas. But we know Rabbi Yossi to hold that the tzitz is not meratz on achilas. It doesn't suspend the tumah problem in the realm of the meat, the achilos, the meat, or in the case of a meal offering, the shirayim, the balance of the meal offering that ordinarily is eaten. So the tzitz will simply not be effective, according to Rabbi Yossi. So how can Rabbi Yossi choose the opinion of Rabbi Elazar in the realm of nitma? Ela lo kashya. Again, we have to explain Rabbi Yossi. He says, Roya ani es divrei Rabbi Eliezer b'tzibur. Roya ani es divrei Rabbi Yeshua b'yochid. I like Rabbi Elazar's opinion when it comes to a public sacrifice, and I like Rabbi Yeshua's approach of stringency with regard to a personal sacrifice. The Gemara asks, "But Sibor, my time all? Mishum de Toma Hoshor Betzibor? Are we going to explain now that Rabbi Yossi likes Rabbi Lezer's opinion with regard to a public sacrifice, because when it comes to public sacrifices, so the laws of Tumah are suspended. Hutra Betzibor. Well, how can you say that, Pshat, though? Chado, these are objections. Chado, the Shamisle, the Rabbi Yossi, the Yamar Tumah Dechuyi Betzibor. First of all, Rabbi Yossi says the Tumah is pushed aside, but not suspended. That means that you have to look, optimally, you have to look for ways for doing the korban in a tara state, if you can. But to say that the laws of Tumah are suspended, because Tumah Hutra Betzibor, that's not a reflection of Rabbi Yossi. So, why would Rabbi Yossi like Rabbi Eliezer with regard to korban Tzibor? V'yod, Ivet Tzibor. And if, in fact, you were talking about a Tzibor offering, and in that case, Rabbi Eliezer's opinion is accepted as opposed to Rabbi Yeshua, why would you say that? Rabbi Eliezer, Machshir, Velo Rabbi Yeshua, continuing at the top of Omid Beis, Ho Amris, but Tzibor Afilu Rabbi Yeshua Moideh. How can you say that, Pshat? Did we not say that when it comes to a Korban Tzibor, that even Rabbi Yeshua would be modeh, that it's acceptable even if it became tomei? By the way, we have a little arrow here at the top of Ayin Ches Omid Beis, which refers you to an arrow found on Ayin Zayin Omid Beis. Again, we have an Ayin Ches Omid Aleph arrow at the top line, referring you to the top line of Ayin Zayin Omid Beis, where we said, back there on Ayin Zayin Omid Beis at the top line, if Rabbi Yeshua Moideh, in the case of Tzibor. So there wouldn't be a reason for a distinction between Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua if, in fact, we were talking about a Korban Tzibor. Therefore, this pshat that we just gave, the last house pshat, was to make present Rabbi Yossi as making a distinction between a Korban Yochid versus a Korban Tzibor. Then a Korban Tzibor, I like Rabbi Lezer's approach, and not that of Rabbi Yeshua. This pshat is untenable. So we continue at the second line from the top of Ayin Chesomit Beis, another house marking, Elo, Royani Divrei Rabbi Eliezer B'di'eved. I, says Rabbi Yossi, I accept Rabbi Lezer's opinion post facto, meaning that if you have a korban whose meat became tomei and you happen to have already sprinkled the blood, we'll say, okay, since you sprinkled it post facto, it's acceptable. The divrei Rabbi Yeshua lechatchila, and I like Rabbi Yeshua's approach as a first choice, that you should have both in place, the meat and the blood as well. You notice that we have a bracket that starts here and it lasts till the mission. A few lines later, you have a long bracket marking as well. And on this side, we have a starred note that says Tama Sograyim. The reason for these brackets is Laharois Shetshuvazu. This answer that we just gave, Chiluk Ben Lechatchilu B'di'eved Nishar LaMaskona. This is the final answer. And that's what the brackets shows, that we've finished the basic discussion. That which we present in the brackets is simply to clarify that which we just said. So now, the bracketed section. D'eved. When it comes to an issue of post facto, afilu Rabbi Yeshua Nami Moidehu. If you're dealing with something that's b'di'eved, why would Rabbi Yossi say, I like Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, giving you the impression Rabbi Eliezer is opposed to Rabbi Yeshua? But if you're talking about d'eved, even Rabbi Yeshua agrees. Dikotoni, it says here in this source, Moide Rabbi Yeshua She'im Zora Kursa. He concedes that if the sprinkling was done, the korban is acceptable. So, here you have Rabbi Yeshua being modeh. The Gemara answers, he's not always modeh. Ha betuma, ha be'ovud v'soruf. It depends. If you're dealing with meat that became tomei, so then, in fact, Rabbi Yeshua is modeh, that if you have the blood and it was sprinkled, so b'di'eved, the korban is acceptable. However, in the case of ovud v'soruf, where the meat is lost or got burnt, then only Rabbi Eliezer is the one that would tell you that if you sprinkle the blood, so then you get credit, that the blood is enough. But Rabbi Yeshua would say, no, if the meat was ovid or soruf, you get no credit. And the Gemara explains. The diamonds that you see here highlight these two aspects of the explanation. Ki kotani modi Rabbi Yeshua shim zora kurtza. When is it that Rabbi Yeshua teaches that if it was sprinkled post facto, you get credit? That's benitmo. That's where the meat became tome. Avol be'ovud v'soruf lo. But in the case of the meat having gotten lost or burnt, then Rabbi Yeshua would not be modeh, even post facto, even b'di'evet. Ki karmi Rabbi Yosi ro'ani esdiv Rabbi Elazar b'di'evet. That which Rabbi Yosi says, I like Rabbi Yosi's opinion post facto, that he's makel, even if all you have is the blood, that is in fact be'ovud v'soruf. That's in that case where it's only Rabbi Elazar that would say that kurtza, that there is acceptance of the sacrifice. So, in the last section of the Gemara, we began with a Tanaic source featuring Rabbi Yosi seeming to hold like two contradictory opinions. We went through a number of stages in trying to explain that. In fact, with our markings, the house markings, and you scan the sugi we just did, there were four stages of trying to resolve that, and we were successful in explaining the source with this last answer, making a distinction between the b'di'evet and l'chadchila, but adding to that distinction the awareness of it depends, is it tumah or it's ovud v'soruf. So that in the case of ovud v'soruf, then I would like, accept Rabbi Eliezer only on a b'di'evet level. And I would prefer, though, as a l'chadchila choice, as a first choice, to go with the opinion of Rabbi Yoshua. We continue with the Mishnah. This Mishnah makes reference to, the beginning, it makes reference to the Korban Pesach, and in the midway into the Mishnah, where you see the Roman numeral number 2, a reference to other sacrifices. And the distinction between the Korban Pesach and the other sacrifices will be the situation of what is this? What is the rule, or what is the status of the Korban of if nitma basar, if the meat became tomei? So the Mishnah opens with a Korban Pesach nitma basar v'chelev kayim. If the meat of the Korban Pesach became tomei, and the fats, the chelev is a section of the animal that's placed on the mizbeach, that's offered to the Almighty, and the chelev is around. So eino zorikas adam, you cannot do zrikas adam, even according to the Tana, Rabbi Eliezer, that says, generally speaking, blood is enough. Not so in the case of the Korban Pesach, because the Iker Korban Pesach is for eating purposes. And here you can't eat the meat having become tomei. Nitmo achelev abosur kayam, zorek es adam. If, however, the chelev became tomei and the meat is around, you can sprinkle the blood. Uve migdoshim ein okein, when it comes to other sacrifices, the rule is not the same. Elo afalpi shenitmo abosur v'chelev kayam, even if the meat of other sacrifices became tomei, and you won't be able to eat the meat, but the chelev is extant, so go ahead and do the Zrikas Adam. The Zrikas Adam is matir, allows you to offer the innards to or on the Mizbeach. Before we continue in the Gemara, we take a look at the topic heading on the side, where we've written Shitas Rav, Nitma Bosar, Im Zorak Hurtza. Rav will tell us that in the case of the Korban Pesach, if you did sprinkle the blood at b'di'evet post facto, so you get credit for your Korban Pesach, and you don't have to do a Pesach Sheni, that's the Pesach that's offered on the 14th of Iyar, if you didn't do it on the 14th of Nisan and it's appropriate at its appointed time. But if you sprinkle the blood, even though the meat was tamei, you get credit. So Rav represents describes a Bibi Evid situation, post facto. What happens if you did Zrikas Adam on a Pesach that had become Tomei? Omar Rav Gidol Omar Rav, Im Zorak Hurtza. If you sprinkle the blood of the Pesach when its meat had become Tomei, Hurtza means you get credit, which is acceptable to the extent that you don't have to do a Korban Pesach. The Gemara asks, and we should point out on the side, our Mivneh heading introduces these triangles that we see. This is triangles appearing in two different directions. They are Lahokel, Laakov, Achar, Malach, HaGemara, we've written on the side. They're here as a Ma'akav. With the point facing up, they are Shelos, and with the flipped over triangle, Tshuvos, they are responses. After Rav having said that if you sprinkle the blood of a Korban Pesach whose meat became Tomei Hurtza, you get credit, but V'havoinan Achila, do we not require eating of the Korban Pesach? And you're not going to be able to eat it. So Gemara answers, Achila lo ma'akva. The eating is not a binding factor. It's not a restraining factor. Question, V'haksiv ish lefi ochloi. But the Pasuk says that the Korban Pesach is brought each man according to his ability to eat it. Gemara says, L'mitzvah, that's a commandment that exists as a favored option. However, it's not binding. The Gemara asks, Ula akev lo, and is it true that it's not a binding factor? V'hotanya. We have the following Tanaic source. And the Bryce here quotes sections of the Pasuk from regarding the Korban Pesach. And it says, Bemichsas. That's a word from the Pasuk. Melameh shein ha-Pesach nishchat elo lemnuyov. From this word, we know that the Pesach is shechted only if people were menuyov, were appointed to it, were assembled and established as a group. Could it be that if you slaughter a Korban Pesach for people, having in mind people that were not appointed, that it's considered violating a precept, however, it nevertheless is still kosher, still acceptable? Not true. Talmud Lomar. Ish lefi achloi tochosu. You see the word tochosu and the word michsas come from the same root. Hakosuf shino lov la'akev. The pasuk repeats shana olav. Shana is from the word mishneh, to do something twice, a second time. The pasuk repeats the word michsas, or in the form of tochosu, to show us that this is a binding issue. V'iskash oichlin l'menuyin. The pasuk itself was referring to the people that it mentioned, lefi ochlo. Ochlo is a reference to people that are capable of eating, as opposed to a person who is ill or aged, that cannot consume the meat. And if you were to shech the Korban Pesach, having in mind a group of people, assigned a group of people, but they were all infirmed, or they were all aged, it would not be acceptable. And just like Ochlin is a binding factor, that's what we saw in the source. Minuyin, healthy people, but have needing to be appointed to the group, that is me'akev, that is a binding factor. So what do you see? You see from here that the eating of the Korban Pesach is a binding factor. Therefore, if the meat became tamei, it cannot be eaten. So how can Rav say that if the blood was sprinkled, that the Korban is acceptable? Ella, Rav, the Omar, Karevi, Nosa. Notice we have, in addition to the inverted triangle, which represents an answer, we also have a new marking, a bow tie. And on the side, it's Keman. We've noted Keman Omar Rav as Dino. According to which Tano would Rav have based his opinion? So the Gemara answers, Rav has a Tanaic basis for his opinion, and that is Karevi Nosan. By the way, we have a Roman numeral number 1 to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara. This draws your attention to the fact that we have a Roman numeral number 2, but it's found only at the top of the next Omid of Ayin Tes Omid Aleph. So, at this point, the Gemara feels we can set up Rav like the Tano, Rabbi Nosson, Di Omar Achilas Psochim Loi Ma'akva. Rabbi Nosson takes the opinion, as opposed to the approach that we saw just before, possibly, that the eating of the Pesach is not a binding factor. you'll notice that we have a bracketed section, and these brackets last quite a few times. Go ahead and use your bracket length indicator to see how long it is. And you see on the side as well, we have a starred note, and we've written there, Hesber HaSograyim. HaGemara Kova, the Gemara established Shirav Karabi Noson. Achrei HaSograyim, HaGemara Shoeles, Ma Dochaf Oso Lahochi. After the brackets, the Gemara will be asking, what pushed Rav to say that our Mishnah was like Rabbi Nosson? Besoch HaSograyim, Mivareres HaGemara, Eizo Rabbi Nosson, To'im Le'em Das Rav. In the brackets, we're going to try to find out which statement of Rabbi Nosson serves as the basis for Rav's point. So, that having been said, the structure then should be fairly clear. Let us see in the brackets the issue. And you'll notice in addition to the brackets, you'll notice a double underline is used, which represents stages. We call them shlavim, to figure out which Rabbi Nosson is the basis for Rav. So our Gemara reads, Hey Rabbi Nosson, which comment of Rabbi Nosson is the basis of Rav? I lema ha Rabbi Nosson desanya. We're looking for a comment of Rabbi Nosson that would lead us to understand him as holding achilas psachim is not ma'akev. Desanya, Rabbi Nosson omer, minayin shikol Yisrael yoytzin bepesach echad. From where do you know that the entire Jewish people can fulfill their korban pesach obligation with one animal? Tamar lomar v'shachatu oisoy kol tal adas Yisrael beino arbayim. The Pasuk says, and the entire assembly of Israel will slaughter it on 14th of Nisan in the afternoon. Is it so that the entire congregation, the entire nation of Israel, does the slaughtering? There's only one person who's doing the slaughtering. So what does this Pasuk mean when it says all of the Jews are doing it? Rather, all of the Jewish people fulfill their Pesach obligation through one animal, one Korban Pesach. Even though, when you divide the meat of a singular sheep amongst several hundred thousand people, you're not going to have an olive quantity per person. So you don't have them eating. So here you would have Rabbi Nosson, as we dashed underline his name, in this source, Rabbi Nosson, holding that Achilas Psachim is not Me'akev. The Gemara says this isn't solid proof. Dilma Shiny Hossa. Maybe this case is different. It's Shiny Hossa means from the, it's Shoneh, it's different, Mi Tuma, from the rules of Tuma. And how is it different? When you look at the an entire group of people, potentially the animal is fit for any one individual. That if these people, if some of the people withdraw from the Korban Pesach, it's available for the others. So since you don't know who is the person who is going to remain, therefore, we say it's fit for everybody. However, as opposed to the case of Tuma, it's not fit for anyone. When the meat is Tomei, no one can eat it. Eloha Rabbi Nosson, it's Rabbi Nosson featured in the following source, Desanya, and we have a source, and toward the end of the source, Rabbi Nosson's name appears. The source says, Nimnu Alav Chabura Achas. A group of people were appointed to a particular Korban Pesach. The Chozru V'nimnu Olav Chabura Acheres. And then another group came, making a large number of people for the Korban Pesach. Is there meat? Is there sufficient meat for each person to eat from? Rishonim Sheesh Lam Kezayas Oichlin Pturin Lasus Pesach Shein. The first group, at which point there was enough meat for each person to receive an olive quantity, so they eat their olive quantity and are thereby exempt from doing a Pesach Sheni, the makeup Pesach on the 14th of Iyar. Achronim She'ein Lohem Kezayas Ein Oichlim. The second group that as a result of the increased number, there wouldn't be a kezias per person, so they are not to eat the chayovim lasos Pesach sheni, and they're obligated to do the second Pesach, the makeup Pesach on the 14th of Iyar. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Eilu Veilu Pturim Milasos Pesach Sheni. Both the first group and the second group are exempt. Shikvar Nizrak Hadam. Because the blood was already sprinkled. Well, what is Rabbi Nosson telling us? That even though there isn't going to be a kezias per person, it's okay because it would appear because achilas psachim is not ma'akev, and this would be the basis for Rav. The Gemara says akati, but still, this source presents a situation that's different from the case of Tumah. Why? De'i mamshechi hani chazi lahu. Because if some of the people would withdraw, there would be enough meat for per person. So that as far as the Korban Pesach itself is concerned, it is not the problem. It's the number of people, and that issue can be resolved, as opposed to the case of Tumah, where the problem is inherent in the Korban Pesach itself. And therefore, to say that Rav is based on this comment of Rabbi Nosson would be unlikely. The Gemara says, "Im Cain." If that is true, then in terms of the kashrus of the korban, in Reb Nosson's statement, listening, it should have said as the reason for their exemption, it should have said "Hoyel Uruyim LiMoshech," since they could potentially withdraw. Maishikvar Nizrak Adam. What is meant by that expression that the blood was already sprinkled? Shma mino, this shows us bedam talyo milsa avalachila lo ma'akfa. All that it shows, what it does show us is that it's the sprinkling of the blood that is the determining factor, and not the actual ability to eat. So at this point, then, in fact, this phrase at the end of the source, which said shekvar nizrak adam, and that's the basis of the kashrus of the korban, that does show us that Rabbi Nosson's opinion, achilo lo ma'akva, hence Rav can say that if a Korban Pesach meat had become tomei and the blood had already been sprinkled, post facto we say, okay, it's acceptable because the eating is not ma'akev. The Gemara asks, my dochake de Rav, de moikim lo masnisin l'chadchilo v'Rabbi Nosson. What pushed Rav into explaining the Mishnah as saying that when it says the Korban Pesach, it said regarding the Korban Pesach, Nitma Bosar, Eino Zorek Es Adam, what pushed Rav into explaining that phrase of Eino Zorek Es Adam as a what's called the Chathila, that you shouldn't, as a first choice, if the meat is tummy, don't go ahead and sprinkle the blood. Nukmo Kerabonan, why not set up the Mishnah like the Rabbonan, who hold that the Achilas Pesach is Ma'akev, Vafilu Dieved, Nami Lo, and when it says Eino Zorek Es Adam, it means that even if the blood was sprinkled, you get no credit. The Gemara answers, Rav Masnisin Kshisei. From Rav's perspective, the Mishnah would have been difficult to set up like the Rabbonan. Amai Tnan, if the Mishnah were like the Rabbonan, why does it say Ein Zorek Es Hadam? Why is that the expression that is used? Puzzle, listening, puzzle. It should have used the expression that it's unfit. That if the meat became Tomei, the korban is unfit, it's puzzle. Eloshma Mino, Ein Zorek equals Lichatchila. The term of Ein Zorek is as a first choice. If the meat became tummy, don't sprinkle the blood. Aval di'evet shapir dummy. But if you did sprinkle the blood of a Korban Pesach whose meat became tummy, you are exempt from doing the second Pesach, the Pesach Sheni. The Gemara asks, Ula Rabbi Nosson ish lefi achlo lomali. We had a source in which we saw a repetition of the word tochosu, at which point we said that Tanaic source, that the repetition of the Pasuk showed that Achilas Psochem is Ma'akev, and we said that that would be according to the Rabbanan. But what would Reb Nosson do with that? Answer, Deboinon Gavra Dechozi L'Achila. That when you shecht the Korban Pesach, you need to have the people that are going to be, that are appointed to it, are people that are fit for eating it. That's as far as Rabbi Nosson's concerned. He's concerned that the potential for being able to eat in terms of the people, Gavra, the people are fit. However, the actual eating of it or the status of the meat, that does not concern Rabbi Nosson. If we look in the Rashi, Gavra dechozel chilaboinon dechiksiv ish lefi ochlo agavra ksiv. It's referring to the people, the levi gavra barachila, that the people that are appointed, they are capable of eating. Avo pesach, as far as the meat itself, lo ichpaslon I lo chozi. That would not bother Rabbi Nosson if the meat is not fit. For example, if it's became tomei. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a marking that hopefully will be quite helpful as we go on. On the side, we have a mivneh, a structural note. Sidra shel mekoros is a source, a series of sources. Shagamora mechapeses mi omram, who is the author of these sources. The diamonds that appear have also, some of them have shading in them. With the upper part is shaded, that is Neimo Rabbi Nosson, and where the bottom is shaded, Neimo Rabbonon. Now, till now then, we've seen Machlokes Rabbi Nosson and the Rabbonon, whether Achilas Psochem is Ma'akev or not. Man Tano Lahod Tano Rabbonon, who would the author of the following source be? Shachtoi Le'ochlov, V'zorko Domo Shel Le'ochlov. This has to do with a mindset that a person has when he is processing the korban. He has in mind ochlov, people that are capable of eating it. And then, when he does the zrikas hadam, when he does the reaches the sprinkling of the blood stage, the final stage, we'll say, of the korban's processing, he has in mind people that are incapable of eating it. HaPesach atzmo kosher, the Adam yoytze bo yedei choy vasoi. The Pesach itself is acceptable, is kosher, and the people that brought it fulfill their requirement. Let us glance at the Rashi, Dibur HaMaschil, HaPesach kosher, Pesach atzmo kosher. Rashi says, Kosal kodaitoch the havamina, right now in understanding this, is lizrok domo, the Pesach is acceptable as far as, even though you have this improper mindset, what during the Zrika Saddam, it's acceptable as far as the Zrika is okay, and you can offer the chelbo, the innards, but it's not sufficient for allowing you to eat it. And it says, okay, so there's not going to be eating, but it says in the source, for Adam Yoytze Boyedei Chavasai. So now that approach of having a Pesach that's not going to be eaten, but you will fulfill your Pesach requirement, so Kiman, who is this source like? Neimo Reb Nosani Velo Rabbonon. Should we say that it's in accordance with Reb Nosson, who says Achila Lo Ma'akva, but not in accordance with the Rabbonon? The Gemara says, Afilu Teima Rabbonon, this source could be in conformity to the Rabbonon as well. Now, the Rabbonon said, but you have to be able to eat from the Korban Pesach. The Achilas Pesach is Ma'akev. So how is this going to be a basis of Yotzi Yudei Chavasai? The Gemara answers very simply, because Ein Machsheves Oichlin Bezrika. When you have an improper thought concerning those who are unfit to eat, but only at the Zrika stage, it has no effect. The problem of having a machsheves shalola oichlin is a problem, presents itself as a problem only at the slaughtering stage, not at the sprinkling of the blood. Now, it's true in other korbanos and regarding other kinds of thoughts, even at the sprinkling stage, an improper thought could be a problem. However, when it comes to this particular kind of thought of shaloi la'oichlin, that does not present a problem at the zrikah stage. Hence, since he shechted it la'ochlov, that's enough. It's therefore a totally acceptable korban that, in fact, can also be eaten. So this source doesn't reflect the opinion of Reb Nosson to the exclusion of the Rabbonan. Mantana l'ha d'ton Rabbonan. Who would the author of the following source be? A person was sick at the time of Shrita. In other words, at the time of Shrita, the owner could not eat from it. However, at the time of the Zrikas Adam, he was healthy. Cholim, healthy. Cholim b'shas Shrita, v'cholim b'shas Zrika. Or the contrary, where he was, at the time of the Shrita, he was not feeling well, and at the time of the Zrika, he felt better. Ein sheichten v'zorkin olav, ad sheicholim Mishas Shchita ad Shazrika. So this source says you do not do the Shchita and the Zrika until he is healthy from beginning till end, from the time of the Shchita till the time of the Zrika. Nemo Keman, according to whom is this source? Nemo Rabbonani Velo Rabbi Nosson. This requirement of being able to eat from it from beginning to end would conform to the Rabbonan and not be something Rabbi Nosson would insist on. As far as Rabbi Nosson is concerned, he holds achilo is not ma'akev. So, of what concern would it be to us if he is sick and can't eat from it? The Gemara says, afilu temo Rabbi Nosson. Now, this source can be authored by Rabbi Nosson as well. Gavro dechozi l'achilo bo'inon. Rabbi Nosson says that the Torah expects the owner to be able to eat from it. He has to be able to eat from it. In other words, physically capable of eating from it. Whether it's eaten or not is, as far as Reb Nosson is concerned, of secondary importance. The actual eating of it is not me'akev. However, the potential for the person, from the person's standpoint, not from the meat standpoint, but from the person's standpoint, as we explained earlier, his status is of a binding nature. Therefore, this source, which was insistent upon the owner being physically able to eat from the beginning till the end, from this point of Shechita till the Zrika, that's something even Rabbi Nosson would subscribe to. I hope that this distinction is understood. It's a very fine difference. You can have, at the one hand, hold achilas psochen is not ma'akev. The actual eating is not a binding factor. However, from the person's standpoint, he personally, from the human being's standpoint, he must be someone that could have eaten from it. But if he could not have eaten from it, from the person focus, then even Rabbi Nelson holds that's a binding factor. We continue. Man tana l'ha d'ton rabbanan. Who would the author of the following source be? Shachato b'tahara v'achar kach nitmu habaylim. The korban Pesach was shechted when there was tahara, when there was purity, and then afterwards the owner became tamei. Yizro kadam b'tahara v'al yoichal basar b'tuma. The blood should be sprinkled in a state of purity, but the meat cannot be eaten in a state of tuma. Keman. Who would author this source? Omar Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar represents the first opinion. He says, "B'machloikis shnuya v'Rabbi Nosson hi." This would be in accordance with. This would be a controversial source, and it would be authored only by Rabbi Nosson, who holds that achilas psachim is not me'akev. Rashi says, Rabbi Nosson hi, the Omar achilo lo ma'akva, the eating is not binding, the lo boy Rabbi Nosson gavro de chozi la'achila, and Rabbi Nosson does not require a person to be fit for eating, and this is, of course, this is a departure from that which we've said earlier, and Rashi is sensitive to that, and says, umasnisa kamaisa muki rebeloza karabonon, the source we saw before, that the person's status is of importance, the Rebbe Lozer over here would set it up like the Rabbanan. In other words, we just saw a source just before this regarding Hareshe Chayla B'Shaz Shchita V'Cholim B'Shaz Rika, etc. And there, at that point, we thought that that would be authored, that could be authored according to Reb Nosson, because he does require Gavra Chazil Achila. Well, this Amora, Rebbe Lozer, would say that source, in fact, is not like Rebbe Nosson, because Rebbe Nosson doesn't require even a Gavra HaChazil Achila. Rebbe Yochanan Omar, Afilu Tema Rabbonon Hi. This source could be in accordance with the Rabbonon as well. Now that's very surprising, because here you have an owner that became Tomei and won't be able to eat from it. And Hocha B'mayaskinon B'tzibor Tafilu B'tuma Nami Avdi. This source is a surprise source. It's talking about a case of the majority of the people became Tomei. They became Tomei between the Shechita and the Zrika. In other words, before the Zrika Sadam was done, they became Tomei. Rashi says, Hocha b'mayaskina b'tzibor shenitmu rov tzibor bein Shechita l'Zrika. They became Tomei between, namely after the slaughtering, before the sprinkling, kegon shemeis hanosi, where the king, let us say, died and everyone attended his funeral, v'nitmu, and they all became tamei, hilkoch gavri dechazu lachilo ninu. Therefore, this conforms to the opinion of the Rabbanan that these are people that are able to eat because of the concept or the phenomenon of a Pesach Habo Betumah. The Gemara asks, if it's talking about a korban Pesach as bal betuma, why does it say in the source ein al yoichal baser betuma, that the meat shall not be eaten? We know that a Pesach that is brought in a state of public impurity, the meat is eaten. The Gemara answers, in this source, the reason the meat is not eaten is gezeira, it's a rabbinic imposition, a gzera, a rabbinic ruling or restriction, shemo yitmu habaylim la'achar zrika. Next year, there might be a situation where the shechita and the zrika were done when the people were tohor, and the people became tamei after the zrika. V'yomru, and they'll think, lo nitmanu v'yachalnu last year, or let's read that again. V'yomru eshtaket, eshtaket means last year. Lo nitmanu v'yachalnu, were we not tomei, did we not become tomei and ate from it if we allowed eating, and they'll say, and we ate from it. Hashtanami nechol, this year too where we became tomei, albeit after the Zrika, let us also eat from it. V'lo yadi, but they are not going to be aware. Dishtaked, last year ki is direct dam, when the blood was sprinkled. Bailim tameim havu, the boners were already tamei, and that was a case of Pesach Habo Betuma. And as such, technically speaking, it could have been eaten. However, hashta, now, this year, where they became tamei after the Zrika, they were tor at the time of the Zrika. Bailim tahorim havu, the owners, the people, were still tor. That's not an example of a Pesach Habo Betuma. So since the chance of them making a mistake is quite a reality, therefore the source above that said that when they became tomei prior to the zrika, even though technically speaking it's an acceptable korban Pesach, they nevertheless should not eat the meat so as to prevent this confusion from arising. The Gemara continues at the top of Omid Beis, at the top of Ayin Tes Omid Aleph, the Iboya Seima, and we have another bow tie marking. And this, as mentioned earlier, the bow tie was to highlight according to whom does Rav hold. So, Iboy Seima, another approach is Rav the Omar, Rav who had said that if the blood was sprinkled of a Pesach that became Tomei, it's okay. That's Kerebi Yoshua. He will hold like Rebbe Yoshua. Desanya, and Rabbi Yeshua is going to represent the opinion of Achilas Psochim Lo Ma'akva. Therefore, if the blood was sprinkled of a Korban Pesach that had become Tomei, they get credit. The source says, Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Kol Hazvochim Shebetorah, regarding all sacrifices other than the Korban Pesach, Bein Shinitma Boser V'Chelev Kayim, whether the meat became Tomei and the innards are around, Bein Shinitma Chelev V'Boser Kayim, or the Chelev became Tomei and the meat is still around, Zorek Es Hadam, you can do the Zrikas Hadam. Pesach Shinitma Chelev V'Boser Kayim, Zorek Es Hadam. With regard to a Korban Pesach, if the chalev became tomei and the meat is around, so you can do the zrikas adam. Nitma boser v'chalev kaim, here we dashed on nitma boser, because this is really what we're focusing on, where the meat became tomei and the innards are around, ein zorek es adam, you shall not do the zrikas adam. Ve'im zorak kurtza, but if it was done, and notice this language is very similar to that which Rav said, that if the sprinkling was done, kurtza, it's acceptable. Nitmu habaylim b'meis lo yizurka, if the owner became a tomei meis, so you cannot do the sprinkling. V'im zorak lo hortza, but if the sprinkling was done, unlike the case of nitma boser, where it's nitma baylim, the animal is not, the korban pesach is not acceptable. And this is rooted in that which we've said earlier today, that even though achila is not ma'akev, as we just saw a moment before, nevertheless, the person must be, the person from the human standpoint, he should have been able to eat from it. And if he is tameh, so it's not an acceptable korban pesach. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.